Father, again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the songs tonight, Lord. Certainly no one but you and I knew what the service would be, the title. And yet, same time, our Father, we thank thee to know the Holy Spirit does things behind the scenes. Sometimes we don't even know he's doing and leading in different directions. And I believe so tonight, as we look at this message that you laid on our heart. Have your way. Bless us, encourage us, and help us, Lord, to be able to diagnose some things of ourselves. And we know you have the answer to anything that we face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bible, if you will, please, and turn with me, first of all, to Jeremiah chapter 20. The other week I mentioned this in a message, and the Lord kind of led from there. And now I want to go back to that for just a few minutes and talk about something that all of us are faced from time to time. And I think when we get in this, you'll see that tonight. Before I get to the message to read in Jeremiah chapter 20, I want to go back and bring you up to date about what's happening in Jeremiah's life. I'm so glad that God, when he gives us examples of people in the Old Testament, we see the reality of life. These are not men who are putting on a show. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of folks in the ministry nowadays putting on a show. That's all there is to it. I mean, they're the special person. They don't have any problems at all. I want you to think they're building the kingdom. But I'm amazed when I go through the scriptures and I find these men who were called of God had some serious situation they had to deal with. And they had to go before God and ask him a lot of questions and make statements because they felt the pressure that came from doing what God said to do. Now, I want to talk about this tonight, depressed again. Every last one of us have been, are, or will be depressed in our lives because of this world and the way it's functioning, especially even on God's own children. But if I go back, and I want to take Jeremiah before we get to chapter 20, and I want to read verses 7 down to 18. I'm going to skim over some because of the sake of time. But if you go back and see what God is telling Jeremiah, and there's a lot we could say, but I want to go back to chapter 17 and verse 9. God said to Jeremiah and wrote it in his documentation, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Then God gives Jeremiah instructions. Let's read some of those about Israel and about Judah. He said in verse 1 of chapter 18, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord said, 'Rise and go down to the potter's house, and there I'll cause thee to hear my words.'" And you know the story. He goes down to the potter's house, and in verse 6, "O house of Israel, cannot I do," God says, as he sees the potter folding the on the wheel and the mud been deformed. He says to Israel, "House of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel." By the way, so is that true today. Not only Israel, but America and every other country. We're in the age of grace today, but the church itself is the vessel God is using to reach the world, and we're failing on that. He said, "At what instant I shall speak concerning the nation and concerning the kingdom to pluck it up, to pull it down, to destroy it." God can make it rise or he can tear it down. He says, "I have the power." Now, man has power. He thinks, and he thinks everything that's happening, he's doing it, and one who has more power than the other is winning. But there's an unseen hand behind everything, folks. I don't care what this world decides to do in its own energy, God has a plan. And I don't care what we think today, that plan's still been carried out. And he can move, it's like playing chess with him someday. He can move nations around just as much so as you can to chess on a chessboard. He knows what to do, when to do it, and when to act. And he said, "Jeremiah, now you go tell Israel." I've told them and warned them. "Now you go tell them what I can do." And he goes on, and he said, verse 11 said, "Now therefore go." Well, verse 8, he said, "If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them." In other words, he would manifest. God don't have to repent like we do, but he says, "I will manifest that I will do what I said I would do when you understand your relationship to me like it should be." And that's what he's talking about here. He said in verse 11, "Now therefore go to and speak to the men of Judah. And you say to them, behold," I'm going through this real fast, "behold, I frame an evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way and make your way and your doings good." He said, "I've done these and I've turned things to you to get you. I first gave you warning. I gave you the prophets. I gave you the prophets that were sent from me, not came from the ranks of your ranks. I gave you everything in warning, and you refused to listen. Now watch. And he says, when I did this, I've even done it to the place of device against you. And he said, and they say, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his own heart. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly where the world's at today. There is more walking after their own heart and the imagination of the heart than they are serving God. And it's massive. In fact, there's many more that way. And it's because man in their ideology thinks that they can handle everything and God is not needed. And since they don't think God is needed, then they finally eradicate him completely, that he doesn't exist. And to them is their mind. Verse 15, he said, because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient past, to walk in paths in the way not cast up, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone that passes thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. I'll scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. Verse 18. Then say they. Now here is Jeremiah doing only what God said do. He is proclaiming the prophet of God what God has said. It's too late now unless you repent. It's fixing to happen. You're going to see the immediate results of this, and it's going to go on for a number of years. Then even then, Israel could have repented as a nation, and God would have stopped everything it was doing, except when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, they didn't do that. And here's what Jeremiah says now. Then said, well, here's what they said. They said, come and let us devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest. I mean, what the priests are saying, God's not going to change that. I mean, I don't care what Jeremiah the prophet says. That's in so many words. And he goes on, he said, and nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us smite him with the tongue, and let us give him to any of his words. Let us do to him what he's saying God's going to do to us. Let's show him. Our prophets are many of them more than he. And so they began to devise. And give heed to me, O Lord, now, Jeremiah says, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they dig a pit for my soul. Said, God, I've done what you said do. Now, the evil that you say you're going to do to them because of their sin, they recompense it back to me. And here it talks about even the fact they dig a pit for my soul. Therefore, deliver their children to the famine. And he begins to pray God's hand to happen, to come on them what he said he's going to do. And he said, verse 22, let a cry be heard from the house when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them, for they have digged a pit to take me and hid snares for my feet. They're trying to trap me. They're trying to go ahead and do that to them, to show you that you're going to do what you said you was going to do. It looked like the prophet Jeremiah was telling a lie rather than the truth, because all the other prophets were telling opposite of what Jeremiah was saying. And then we come on down, and we see in verse 15 of chapter 19, thus said the Lord of hosts to the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their hearts, and that they might not hear my words. He said they have hardened their hearts and refused to listen, and this is what Jeremiah is telling. But wait a minute, God hadn't done anything. It gets very discouraging sometimes when you know you're telling the truth and no one listens. Surely God is able to make people listen to truth. Surely God's got the power, if he got someone to tell the truth, to make people believe the truth, but he won't. He'll lay truth on the table, but he won't make nobody believe it. He'll tell you the truth is there, the consequence is there, but he won't make anyone believe it. He will not burglarize our will. And then he goes in chapter 20, and he talks about, he said, now Pashur the son of Immer, the priest, and now this is the head of the priest family in Jerusalem. And he says, who was also chief governor of the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things, and watch. And then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And then he said Jeremiah unto him, it came to Pashur brought forth Jeremiah, and he said to him, the Lord have not called thy name Pashur anymore, but Magar Misabib, and that means terror on every side. God's changed your name because of what you've just done. And he said, behold, I'll make thee a terror, God says, to thyself and to thy friends and all there. And he goes on, boy, every time Jeremiah says something, it would make their flesh crawl. It'd make the bitterness of their tongue turn even more, because they could not bear what Jeremiah was saying, though it was truth. And they had others to tell them other things. And he went on and he said, He said, and I'm going to tell you this, not only behold, I'll make thee a terror to thyself, to thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and their eyes shall behold it, and I will give all Judah into the hands of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive to Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. He said to the kings of Judah also, in verse 5, I'll give into the hands of their enemy. And he went on, then you get down, and he says in verse 6, and thou pasture, and all that dwell in thy house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. Because you've done this, here's what's going to happen. And this really set him on fire, called, hey, he's a prophet of God. All right. Out of this, we have an advantage. We know who the prophet of God is. It's Jeremiah. But watch now. Jeremiah is getting depressed. He's doing something. It looks like God's going to do what he said he'd do. But Jeremiah knew he would, but he won't doing it fast enough. He says, what I'm saying to them, they're doing to me. And watch what happens. He gets down verse 7, oh, Lord, thou hast deceived me. What an amazing thing. Lord, you have deceived me. You know, God didn't deceive him, but he felt that way. The word deceive here means you lured me with assurance to success. You made me feel sure that this thing was going to be successful, but it's not happened yet, Lord. And he said, and I was deceived. You have said, thou hast deceived me. You lured me with sure of success. I thought it's going to be just like you said it's going to be, and yet I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and has prevailed, and I am delirious. That means I'm ridiculed daily. Everyone mocketh me. Here I am preaching what you say do, and I'm being mocked and ridiculed, despised, rejected, and trying to be killed, put into a pit somewhere or another. And then he said, for since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Again, it was ridiculed. Now he's come to the worst place that he could come. In verse 9, he says, then say I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more of his name. But his word, now watch this, I'm not going to say nothing else in God's name. I can't stand it anymore. I can't do this. I'm not going to take the ridicule because God is seen not doing what he's going to do. But you can't do that when God burns your heart. See, there's more to it than just surface. God enters inside. And Jeremiah, when he got to thinking about that, then he said, but his word was in my heart, and as burning, watch, fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard of the fame and many fears in David's side. Reports say that we were reported. He said, all my familiars watch for my haughting, that is, they're just looking to see when I'm going to stop and illogically turn against God and be defected. They're looking when I'm going to defect from the prophecy. But he goes on. He said, they're saying, peradventure he'll be enticed. Oh, they'll get to him. He'll be tempted to lure above some kind of reward. He'll change his message one of these things. See, they thought that it was Jeremiah's message, not from God. Why? Because most people think majority rules. All the other prophets won't send this. Only Jeremiah at this time and his place was send this. Seemed like the majority rules. Everybody thinks you go with the majority. A lot of folks are going with the mass movement today in religion because it looks like it's the real thing. It's the majority. I'll tell you, the Sanhedrin court in Jerusalem was the majority when Jesus came. But he was a minority, but he came out on top. He came out on top. And watch, he goes, and I'm giving a long induction here, but it's needed. And he begins to talk. Now, watch, he is discouraged, folks. God writes what Jeremiah feels. It's my office. It's an amazing thing. He said this in verse 14, cursed be the day when I was born. Cursed be the day that I was born because of where he was at. He was so depressed. Watch. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father. Not only cursed the day I was born, but cursed the man who went to my dead and told him I was born. That's what Jeremiah was doing. He was down, folks, as low as he couldn't get no further. He was a prophet of God. He said to a man, child born to thee. He said, verse 60, let not that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not. He goes on, he said, because, in verse 11, because he slew me not from the womb. He said, let him be accursed because I wasn't killed when I came from the womb. It'd been better, he felt so depressed where he was at, to go through what he was going through. It'd been better for him never been born. That's what God is saying to Jeremiah. Aren't you glad? Ladies and gentlemen, there's nowhere in the world you've been as bad depressed as this man is. And I hadn't either. And he goes on. He said he showed it born. And he said, and or that my mother might have been my grave. It'd been better if I died in my mother's womb and her womb became my grave. He is depressed. When a person is depressed, they say things and do things they would not do otherwise because their mind is not functioning like it should. That's what renewing the mind does for you and I. In verse 18, he says, wherefore I came forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. He said, I've kept the only thing I've got is sorrow and grievous and shame since I've been born in this world. But wait a minute. He decided not going to do anything else. But God sets forth that in his heart was a moving of the word of God, like fire. That's when I say, if you get truly born again, folks, it ain't just like making turn over a new leaf and say, I'm religious. When you get truly born again, it's a birth. And the Holy Spirit moves in. And God's going to see to it. You say by grace, you live by grace, you work by grace, and you find out everything that goes on inside of us then from there on out depends how we renew our mind. And that helps us get through things. And Jeremiah's at that place at this particular time. We have a lot of problems in life. Things fail. I read where there was a saint, a God, an elderly lady. She was called Granny Annie, her name. And she phoned her doctor. She went been to the doctor and got her medicine. She phoned the doctor one day after she'd come back and had got her medicine. And she said to the doctor, Doctor, is it true that the medication you prescribed to me has to be taken for the rest of my life? And the doctor said, Miss Annie, I'm sorry. You're going to have to take it the rest of your life. And there was a silence on the phone at that particular time. And she continued, I wondered then just how serious is my condition. And he said, well, why would you ask? She said, I got just noticing here on the bottle that prescription says no refills. It's easy to get depressed with words like that. And I read a story that possibly true, the names were given anyhow, where a mother had two sons. One was 5, one was 3, one was named Kevin, and the other was named Rayon. And she baked some pancakes one day, and they got to arguing, the siblings did, of who would get the first pancake. And she thought she'd settle it, and she said, now, son, listen to me. You know, if Jesus was here, he said, let my brother have the first pancake. And the 5-year-old Kevin said to the 3-year-old Rayon, how about you playing Jesus? Well, Jeremiah, he was depressed. Thank God we have some things in our day to help us. And I want to get through this as quick as I can. First of all, depression. Depressed again. Depression. Gloom. Pessimism. Despair. Discomfort, discouragement. One great element in all kinds of depression is a sense of disappointment. I read an article back a few years ago that Dr. Tim LaHaye said that out of 100,000 people they surveyed, not one of them ever said they didn't get depressed at times. And I'd guarantee you in here, you may say what you can see. May say no, but I guarantee there's not a person in here who hadn't been depressed sometime or another. It don't take much to depress us in this age. It don't take much to depress us. People who live in the best surroundings get depressed. As a matter of fact, it seems like some of them get depressed more than others who don't have as much sometimes in life. Depression is more than just having a bad day. So, well, I had a bad day, I'm depressed. No, that's more. Depression is more than having a bad day. You can get over a bad day, but you can't get over it when you're in deep depression as fast as you'd like to in life. Psalms 42, verse 5 and 6, the psalmist said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? That's when we get depressed. We don't seem to have the answers, and we know mentally we forgot what God has said sometimes until he gets us back on track. We went back, Hippocrates said, he wrote, who was the father of medicine, a Greek physician, 460 B.C. to 370 B.C., he wrote about depression. He was also very depressed. Winston Churchill underwent severe bouts of depression. Joseph Stalin was a victim of deep depression. Charles Spurgeon, one of the great preachers of the past, knew weeks and times of dark depression. Moses asked God to take his life. Job wanted to die. Elijah asked God to kill him. Jeremiah here hits rock bottom. Why? They were depressed. These are biblical signs of depression. And God's not afraid to show us what can cause it, why we have it, and what the resources are. Because he has resources for it in our particular day. So let's look at three things about depression real fast. First, the reasons for it. Reason why God's people get depressed. Our response in the midst of that depression. And then the resources for depression. Why does God's people get depressed? Sometimes we imagine ourselves to be victims of divine deceit, just like Jeremiah. This is not supposed to happen this way. Lord, I'm not. How many things, these times you've seen things happen and said, Lord, how can this happen? I'm trying to serve you. Lord, I know people don't care one thing about serving you, and they say they're saved. But Lord, I'm trying to serve you. Now look where I'm at. It looks like they got a silver spoon in the mouth, and here I'm hard to get by. It's very easy for us to think of ourselves as getting that type of situation. Jeremiah said, God, you've deceived me. No, he hadn't. Well, you certainly not brought the success you said you was going to bring if I give this message. Then Jeremiah said, I've been deceived. And maybe he deceived himself in thinking a different thing than he should have thought what God did. You enticed me to warn people. Truth in a wicked world does not gain the bearer popularity. The truth of this book does not give us popularity among the ungodly world. To tell somebody they need to be born again does not give us popularity unless that person gets born again. It's very easy for someone to hate you if you try to witness to them, and because you love them, they think you're cramming religion down their throat, but you do it because you love them, and it's very easy for them not to think much of you when you're trying to win them to the Lord and become your best friend when you get saved. Because you understand they did it out of love, you see. And so would I. So truth in a wicked world doesn't gain much one who bears that truth popularity. It doesn't give them power. It only brings content a lot of times and also persecution. Jeremiah was met with resistance here. And he was doing only what God said. Surely God can make people believe that, but he won't. He'll let some of his choice people through the past even die. They gave their life physically for the cause of Christ. Look at Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you never read any of that, you should read that. Jeremiah stretched out his hand in obedience to God, but the people would not respond to God, but rather they responded against him, and he felt to him what he thought they should be feeling from God, because he gave God what was to be said. Yet the more they pressed him, the closer Jeremiah did get to God, because he had to depend upon him for everything. And that's the amazing thing about what happens. Those who truly say will run to God. You won't run away from him. When you see everything against you, you have only one hope. And you know it's the hope you have in Jesus Christ. And you'll go to him. You may weep and cry, a lot of things, but you'll go to him. Jeremiah had warned, and he'd been preaching this probably close to 20 years also, and nothing seemed to happen. Jerusalem was the same as when he started. Nebuchadnezzar was still the monarch of Babylon. The politicians and religious people were still having the upper hand. He was a prisoner in the hands of his own people, suffering extreme humiliation and also misery. He was beaten and put in stocks like a criminal, Jeremiah 37:21. This was done by Zedekiah. It seems that God had not protected him from persecution to a point. And yet in his mind, in his heart, he tried to do something he could not do. And that's, he said, I'm not going to speak about you no more, Lord. It's just not worth it. And he said, in my heart, it began to burn. And he had to go and do, because he loved God enough to know that was not a mistake in what he was doing. Yet we know that God did not deceive him. His word did come true. And 20 years later, long time seems to speak when something that God had said would happen, but it did happen. It might not have seemed from some 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 up to about 20 years it was going to happen, but it did happen. Can I tell you something? You remember what the Holy Spirit said Peter to write? He said, the talk about the coming of the Lord, they're going to mock you and mock you and mock you and mock you, but I want you to know he's coming. Amen. He's coming. Well, preacher's been 2,000 years. No, make no difference. He's coming. Amen. He's coming. And same way what we see here, what God is saying through Jeremiah, it's going to happen, Jeremiah. The only thing that can change it is for to repent. And of course, the Lord knew what was going to happen there also. and it didn't happen, and it did happen to them just like God said it would happen at that particular time. In a dark hour of depression, he said, God, you deceived me. I don't understand this. People sitting here today has said this in some form or another. I guarantee you, there have been times you may have said, well, God, you deceived me, but you felt like maybe you got deceived somehow because something didn't come out just like you thought it was going to come out. By the way, if God's in it, it probably never come out like you think it's going to come out. Because he's going to do things when it's done, he'll know he did it. If it come out like we thought it, we say, and God, aren't you glad to have me? But he don't do that work that way. We're glad to have him, and if it's going to come out, it come out like he wants it to come out. God did not deal, Jeremiah thought, with him fairly. Let me ask you, has there ever been a time you felt God didn't deal with you fairly? Has there been a time you said, Lord, I don't understand why this happened to me? It's in essence said, Lord, I don't think you dealt with me fairly about this thing. Right? Come on now. I don't think so. When you hear sometime another stuff, you got an age on it and said, Lord, I don't know don't look like you did fairly about this thing. God deals favor, ladies and gentlemen. But there's conditions to it for a lot of times, too, in this life. And so here, he felt that this was what he should have done, and it didn't do, or she felt this is what they should have done, and they did, and it didn't come out like they thought it was. They felt that God placed them there, but it didn't come out like they did. And by the way, if you feel like God placed you somewhere or another, he probably did. He probably did. And I want to say this to you, if he did, it may not come like you want to, but don't mean that God didn't place you there. But I tell you, when that you get on the other side of the lamp to your feet and that light to your path and you look back, you're going to see why he placed you there, why you went through that trial, why you went through that trouble, whatever happened. You've heard me say so many times, Brother Troy Lee, I will never forget when I sat down and talked to him a few days before he died. He said, Brother Ennis, he called me pastor, and he said, Pastor Ennis, I want to tell you, I witnessed more. I've had more chance to witness since I got sick with this cancer than I had before in my life. And what he was saying, people wouldn't listen before. He said, but they have pitied me so much, they'll listen to me. I say anything I want to, nobody gets mad. Well, that's a good time to witness, isn't it? Amen. He said, I'm bear down as hard as I want to. And he said, I've had. He said, I'm not ashamed to talk about Jesus Christ. Not that he was before, but he said that gave him a door. And he went home to be with the Lord, saying, I witnessed more since I got saved for the Lord than maybe the days before that. I'll never forget that talk we had that particular day. I thank God for it because I think he got something that he understood, and I think you and I, when we hear that, know. Now I wonder, has God dealt with me deceptively? Same as what Jeremiah said. His enemies had begun to call him names. They ridiculed him, they mocked him, insulted him, reproached him, and reproached him, whispered about him. He had a sense that they were against him. Even his friends were saying, we can't wait. And that's what he said in verse 10. We just can't wait till he slips and falls. What a sad thing when the world looks at us. Just give him a little time. We'll just wait. He'll fall. She'll fall one of these days. And when they do, then we'll move in. Just give them time. I've got news for you. God's people are going to be victorious, whatever happens. And you're going to find that if they do, you don't have to worry about God doing anything to them if they do, because God said he'll look after his own as far as his children are concerned. But they were looking at Jeremiah this way. The same word of God that brought him reproach when he preached it became fire in his bosom and his bones. And he said, don't be surprised. When you feel God wants you to do something for him, and many are not waiting for your gift to God's kingdom, you were asked to serve with someone, then rejected when you started. This is the way Jeremiah was. Start out listening, then reject because you didn't like the message at the time. Today, children began with a beautiful picture of God. And here's where we see in small classes today. A small child loves those pictures of God, those little sweet stories about the coming of the Lord Jesus and the many things that we see in the Bible. Children began with a beautiful picture of God, and then they grow up believing that God does not live up to his word when trouble comes. We see deliverance many times in Scripture, and then they grow up with these beautiful stories, and the first time they face a wall where God doesn't seem to bring an answer like they want, they can't believe that he exists. They can't believe that it's real. And God has to do something to get their attention to renew their mind. That, hey, you're going to find out that I'm more on your side when you're on my side. And by the way, that's the way it is. You have to be on his side for him to be on your side. He's not going to come on our side just because we're who we are. He said he'd never leave us, forsake us. Now believe that. But he's not going to back up something when it's wrong and when we find ourselves doing it, even as a child of God. God has never promised to keep us from trouble. Have you ever found that? I guarantee you, if you live to be honest, you're going to have a lot of trouble. I've had more in the last few years than I've had in all my lifetime, just about. But I got to thinking, God has never promised me I wouldn't have trouble. Has he? You? If he has, please talk to me as a servant. I need some help. But he tells me what he will do to help us through that trouble. See, God can do a number of things. He can help me through it. He can get me around it. He can stop it. But anyway, he's going to be there with me. He said he'd never leave you, forsake me. And I thank God for that. So he's never promised to keep us from trouble. If we will wait and trust God, he'll show us what we are called to do. And we'll find that then when we think that we don't understand, this kind of ignorance, his ways are always loving ways in our life when we do his will. Why do we get so depressed then? I think it's mainly in our day because things just don't seem to go right once in a while. They don't go the way we think that it ought to be. Yet all people get depressed. Second thing, watch quickly as a response of depression. Jeremiah responded, first of all, with bitterness in his life. Notice the words in chapter 20, verse 14. He said, "Cursed be the day when I was born. Cursed be the man that told my dad I was a kiss child." He's really bad off. I ain't never done that. I've been through a lot, but I never was cursed. Said, "Cursed the day I was born." Man alive. I hope I brought some joy when I was a baby. I don't know if I did much after that, but I hope I brought some joy. Don't you? Why? I never get to the place to curse the man who went and told my dad he had a son, and I was the first. Amen. When I see what God is setting forth here, we find, notice the words that Jeremiah said. It was a capital offense for the Jews to curse his parents, and yet Jeremiah walked on a thin line here. He could have been accused of that and took his life for it. He cursed the day he was born. He cursed God's call on his life. In chapter 1, he even talked about from his mother's womb as he was called. And that's the reason I think he went back to that. He was thinking in chapter 1, I was looking down about verse, chapter 1 and verse 15. "For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdom." No, in verse 5, I'm sorry. He said, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nation." God said, "Jeremiah, I saw your son before you was ever born. I determined things about you." You know what? He saw the end. What Jeremiah? He saw that even though Jeremiah would have a depression time, he saw what the word of God could do. He saw what relationship the Lord could do. He saw that Jeremiah, like David, when he did something wrong, and said, "Lord, I shouldn't have done this." And in his heart began to bring torment and fire feeling. It's not fire like burns, but it's that which in turn causes us to know something's not right, and you set it right before God Almighty. And he helps us do that. He wished he'd never been born. He cursed the man who announced his birth to his dad. His dad was Hilkiah. All the man said to his dad is, "Hilkiah, you got a son." And here Jeremiah is so depressed, he said, "Cursed be the man that told my dad that he had a son." That's pretty depressed, I think. I'm not going to read over that. I'm going to say, "Hey, boy, that's, I wouldn't never do." No, sir. Listen, you don't know what you do. You can get so depressed, you self-destruct if you don't get some help. It's a bad thing when you see people go through that. This shows that the depression arouses one to want to hurt, to irritate, destroy, to love one, or to destroy loved ones or others. This shows us, this depends upon the degree of the pain one feels. What would you have told Jeremiah if you'd been a counselor? "Ah, Jeremiah, cheer up. Things are going to get better." Folks, listen. Without God, things will never get better. They may look like they will, but they won't. In the center of God's will, things will get better. We know that. But this is too much to face with a theoretical fashion phrase. You cannot get the end results without the process. And disappointments come. You pray for help to pay your bills. And then suddenly you get more bills. And you get more bills. The next thing you know, there's a depression and a decision has to be made. Instead of getting help sometimes to pay the bill, other people's come in. And you end up being depressed. Disappointment leads to discouragement. And listen, discouragement leads to depression. And depression leads to disqualification, and that's deep depression. Because that makes you think to the place, life is not worth living. And you don't ever want to get there. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care where we're at, what situation we're in, life is worth living for God. Amen. It's worth it. And the day will come, He'll prove that to us. It doesn't matter what it is. If I'm in bed, wherever it's at, life is still worth living for God. It's not worth living what you see in this world, because it's nothing but evil, but for God. This is the only time you and I have a chance to live for God in these bodies of flesh, while we're here this side of eternity. So again, all of us are get depressed, and there's some ways to respond to it. Now, number three, what do you say to a depressed person like Jeremiah? Just quick and we'll go home. We have to remember, when God seems silent, He's probably working the most. You know, when Jesus Christ cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was doing something that the world could not see, that was greatest thing that ever done for humanity in that situation. The unseen hand of God, He was bringing about in those 6 hours of silence. God was redeeming the human race. And sometimes you wonder for days why God doesn't do this or that or say something to you. He may be saying more to you than ever because He's silent until He gets us through where we're at. He may have done something and you did not like what He did. And He wants you to see, He wants you to know He loves you, but there's something going on that you just don't understand. Why would the Son of God have to say, my God, not my Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had to say that so you and I would not be forsaken. He took our place, so we'd never have to say that before God Almighty Himself. And so Jeremiah continued talking to God, even while he was at the bottom. You see that in verse 11, 12, 13. When you're at the bottom, you find something to praise Him for. And sometimes our weakness, we give up on God. Sometimes when we're at our worst place in life, we give up at that moment to think about Him. You can't give up praising Him wherever we're at. You know why, ladies and gentlemen? Because He's our Father. He deserves it. He deserves it. Some of the greatest people that you see in the world are some people who had the greatest tragedies in the world. And God turned that around to be one of the greatest examples for Christ that's ever lived. He can take the worst and turn it for His glory, because after all, whatever happens to us here, when we get to heaven, it's going to be gone. Everything's going to be gone. You won't look like, hey, I've got news for you. You're not going to look just like you look right now when you get to heaven. We're going through a transformation, not only just renewing our mind here, but when we get there, we're going to have a body. Amen. Never change. You won't be looking in the mirror and saying, where'd that wrinkle come from? There won't be no wrinkles there, I tell you, at all. Jeremiah continued to talk. Sometimes our weakness, we want to give up on God, but you can't. You praise Him. But I want to say, thanks be unto God, He never gives up on us. I don't care where we're at. One of the things we have to learn through the process of time, God never gives up on us. Never fall into a state of unbelief when you're in depression. No, ask God to renew your mind from the Scriptures. Never be unwilling to do God's never be unwilling to do God's will when you're in a time of depression. God asked the question in Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? He asked that question to Moses. Is anything too hard for the Lord? In Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17, 1,292 years later, He said, no. And then He said it again in chapter 32, verse 27. He asked, is anything too hard for the Lord? And after 1,292 years later, 605 years, 8 years after that, in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, Jesus said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And that's when Gabriel was telling Mary she's going to have a son. With God, nothing's impossible. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever we in, and I believe me, all of us go through a tailspin. We psychologically, we get in a bad situation thinking. But God says, I'll bring your mind around. And when you think about with God, nothing shall be impossible. That means nothing. wherever we're at, we will come out victorious. So we need to keep trusting God. We keep looking up. Don't quit serving God when you meet difficult times in God's work. So why do we get depressed? What we want to do doesn't seem to happen quickly as we'd like to. How do you respond? You keep on serving God. The end results do not come without a process. You trust Him as you obey Him, and He's already told us where we're headed, and that's home. What resources do you use? Keep in mind, when God seems silent, He's always working. In Hebrews chapter 13, and I'll read these verses and we'll go home. Here's what God's Word says in verse 5 and 6. The writer said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness." That means your way of life. "Be content with such things as you have, for He has said, 'I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.'" Wherever you are in the status of life, financial or otherwise, He said, when you get to the place that where you're at, you're content. It's not what you have, but content is not getting more, but content where you're at. When you get there to be content, He said, keep this in mind. He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That's worth more than a draft on a bank. "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." And that means when I draw my last breath, He's not going to depart from me a little while there. Even when I go through the exit of death, He's going to be there. He's promised that. And then He says, "so far, so that we may say boldly." If He'll never leave me and forsake me, He said, "so that we may say boldly, 'The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.'" Boy, that's faith. That's strength in life. Don't despair. Now, leave this thought with you. I read an article the other day, and it amazed me about around this message. Don't despair. Even the sun has a sinking spell every night, but it rises again in the morning. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for this time of study. Lord, I sure need it. I guess I'll get more than others because I can't give what I've looked, seen the last few weeks studying this. But I thank you for it. And dear Father, despair is more, depressed is more than just having a bad day. We all have bad days. Things just don't go right. We have rush days. We have problems in days. But that can be a beginning of deep depression, Lord. So help us understand that things can be checked before we get there. And because we get depressed don't mean that we're worse than anyone else. It just means we're not found the answers that God has given us in His book, Holy Bible. Lord, there's not a thing in this world that when questions are asked, you don't have the answers in this book. It may take some time to find it, and when we study it, we will find those answers and then learn much more along the process. Our Father, every last one of us, one of the things about longevity of time is the fact that if one lives to be longer than anyone else, they'll probably suffer much more physically because sin is still, the wage of sin is still death, and the body is dying in so many ways. And we found technology and in medicine, in our day, we've advanced so much today that we can do things to replace certain, help certain things in the body, but it still begins to break down. So the longer we live, the more problems we'll face. And Father, very rare you see anybody get up in old age, as far as what that age is now, depending on the individual, I guess, that will need some help along the way with some medicine of some kind. And God has let us find that for to help us. And if we can take it with no problems, then there's nothing wrong with that. And we thank you for it, Lord. But help us realize whatever we take to help us live longer, we're still going to face you one day. It'll either be the exits of death or the rapture. So help us occupy each day and realize when we come to the darkness of life and something has happened and throws us a little curve, the Lord, and we began to feel a different way about thee. Help us understand. You always give us record in your word of men who were greater than we were, who were depressed, who went into a tailspin and wonder what was going on. And I'm glad, Father, you don't mind for your children coming asking questions as long as we don't blame God. We just ask questions because we want to know, and God in His Word will lead us to the answer as we look into it from Genesis to Revelation. Help your people this week. There might be someone here tonight who's gone at a point of depression or at a deep depression. Help them understand, dear Father, there are some things that God says it will help. It don't mean it's no real. Depression is real. It's not nothing that someone just made up. It isn't that God's people have something that that we never get depressed. We fall in line because we're human beings, but we have an answer where God can help us if we utilize that answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.